Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for November 30th, 2012.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
We really do have this strong fundamental desire to read biologically relevant information like the gaze direction of other individuals.
Areas of the brain that often are active when people detect visceral threats or when they even feel physical pain were more active the more math anxious a person was.
Children were strongly influenced by what the recipient knew when they were making their decision.
This week, are kids naturally stingy? Why children's self-control could depend on the adults around them? And why math anxiety hurts? But first, Suzanne looked into what monsters can tell us about the importance of eyes.
Watching people's eyes helps us decipher their intentions. But until now, scientists haven't been able to show conclusively that the eyes are actually more important to us than the middle of the face, where the eyes just happen to be located. It occurred to Canadian ninth grader Julian Levy that monsters from the role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons could help resolve the issue. Some D&D monsters have eyes on their legs or other body parts. Levy teamed up with his father, University of British Columbia cognitive scientist Alan Kingstone, to track the eye movements of volunteers while they looked at both D&D monsters and humanoids. They found that people indeed turned their gaze towards the eyes first, regardless of where they were located on the body.
And that's important because it actually shows that people really are interested in the eyes of other people and not just targeting the center of a face and getting the eyes for free. And that means that we really do have this strong fundamental desire to read biologically relevant information like the gaze direction of other individuals.
Kingstone says the research could also have significance for autistic people.
Typically, developing individuals, I think, have a fundamental understanding that the eyes of other individuals are important and other creatures are important. But one theory out there is that people with autism haven't quite acquired that information. They don't kind of represent other individuals in the same way, and they might not view the eyes of other people as being that important in terms of reading the intentions of other individuals.
The study appears in the journal Biology Letters.
Thanks, Suzanne. The Stanford Marshmallow Experiment was a classic study of delayed gratification. Preschoolers tried to resist eating one marshmallow in order to earn two later. The children's success was largely attributed to impulse control. But University of Rochester cognitive scientist Celeste Kidd wasn't so sure.
It could have been the case that kids were simply incapable of waiting. Alternatively, young children could be capable of making a decision about whether waiting or not would be worth it.
To find out, she and her colleagues repeated the marshmallow experiment. But first, the kids got to color, while a researcher either delivered or reneged on a promise to bring them nicer crayons. When the adult kept his or her word, the child was much more patient in the subsequent marshmallow test. The result suggests that the reliability of the adults around them can strongly influence children's self-control. Next, Suzanne has more news about the psychology of child development.
Adults tend to be more generous towards others when they're being watched. Now, research suggests that this behavior may start as young as age 5. Yale psychologist Kristen Limegruber led the study. She and her colleagues had kindergartners dole out stickers to friends while also keeping some for themselves. Sometimes the recipient couldn't see the giver or her bucket of stickers.
The main finding is that children were strongly influenced by what the recipient knew when they were making their decisions. Generally, children were only generous when the recipient was aware of the opportunity for the subject to be generous. So when they could see the subject, then children were really generous. But whenever the recipient was unaware, children were not at all generous.
She says this indicates that children are more sophisticated in their social behaviors than previously thought.
I think the fact that we're seeing these sort of adult-like giving strategies, even in kindergartners, suggests that it's possible that the same sorts of factors that drive charitable actions in adults may also be influencing generosity much earlier in life than we previously assumed. So it's clear that we're not giving children nearly enough credit for the strategies that they're using and the things that are motivating their generosity.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. If you find math painful, you're not alone. Millions of people suffer from math anxiety, regardless of whether or not they're actually bad at math.
People who are anxious about math report feeling negative and adversely affected in all sorts of situations, whether it's getting up at the board to do a problem in school or even calculating the bill on a check as your very smart friends look on.
That's University of Chicago cognitive scientist Cian Bylock. She and her colleague, Ian Lyons, report that areas of the brain associated with feeling physical pain are activated while math-anxious people prepare to solve math problems.
We had people who professed to be anxious about math and people who are not perform math problems while we looked inside their brain using functional neuroimaging. We also had them perform a task that had been matched for difficulty that was a word problem task, and the word task was sort of a control. And what we found was that areas of the brain that often are active when people detect visceral threats or when they even feel physical pain were more active the more math anxious a person was when they were just anticipating getting ready to do a math task. And we didn't find the same sort of relationship when they were getting ready to do the word task.
She says people don't actually feel physical pain because of math anxiety, but these areas of the brain may be lighting up because the brain doesn't always distinguish between psychological and physical pain.
So it seems like some of the same areas that have evolved to register physical pain might be co-opted or come online to register this thing that's psychologically adversive.
She says that math anxiety is particularly common in elementary school teachers, and studies have shown that their fears often get passed on to their students by the end of a school year together, which is one of the many reasons that finding new ways to address math anxiety is so crucial. Bylock talks about some of these in a new book about performing under pressure called Choke. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of intriguing science stories for you. But if that's too long to wait for your next science fix, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition, every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. That's 1-800-949-4748. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.